Okay. Here's what I've got on stack. I had Lydia after Bill. I had Adriana after Lydia. I heard Michael just add himself. Is there anyone else who wants to get on? Okay. Never mind. I'll throw myself on too. Lydia, go ahead.
Okay. So, since I made that motion, is it possible for me? Can I move to table it?
Surely.
Because it didn't have the effect that I was going for. My effect was simply, it's the same amount of money, but rather than kind of irrationally splitting the baby in half, it's like, keep it a whole and identify it as the current central services rather than the past.
Lydia, I don't think you need a motion from this committee to tell Efren to change how he's crediting that money when it comes in.
Okay.
Because you're the boss.
Right.
Do it now.
Okay, yes, exactly. So that's one. And then in terms of the projections, it's also the fact that I think that the temperature of the elections here, which is different from what we've experienced in the past, we're not usually the station, even though we have different choice and stuff, but the it hasn't been the top for many years. So, and I think that has had its effect, and I think that once results are known and things have settled down, that will contribute to better fundraise, quite frankly. And I don't think I need to go into any more specifics than that, but anyway, so there you go. So I think this is a realistic budget, and that motion, let's just table it, because that way if we never take it off the table, we can just resolve it. Thank you. That's it.
Let's put a bow on that. So Lydia's motion is to table her motion and my substitute, which is attached to it.
Okay.
Is there any objection to tabling?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
She never really completed a motion. Because you remember I read that the what I caught was that KPFK pay its current central services and that it be appropriated accordingly as, and that's as far as we got, and then you put in your motion.
Okay.
So
is there any objection to treating those motions as never actually made? Hearing no objection, obliterate all traces of them from the minutes, R. Paul.
Well, let's withdraw.
No.
You've gotten unanimous consent to withdraw. Okay.
However you want to record it. Thank you for your diligence. Adriana, you're next.
Okay. I can see here two things. One, that your estimate for October is almost the same one that Efren sent. It means it's only $10,000 off. Do you have the numbers from listener support from November?
Yes, they're in there.
180?
You mean listener support off the fund drive?
November, the total of November listener support.
I think she means November. Actual cash receipts.
No, we do not yet have November's income statement.
It is still November.
Okay. Then the second thing that I see here is that you have depreciation, but you didn't know what the other station did, that adding the $58,000. Let's see. I'm trying to. It's not. Let me check. Where is depreciation?
Depreciation?
Yes.
Yeah.
96.
Row 96.
These are almost $59,000 that all the other stations, I disagree with the issue, but I think that all the other stations add that. It means that your line here, your income will be 160, probably 164 or 163. Instead of 104.
Okay. I'm seeing line 96 for depreciation expense.
Right.
Where are you seeing depreciation listed as income?
What we've been doing, Leslie, because you don't have to cut a check for depreciation.
Right.
Is asking stations to zero that expense out by putting a negative adjustment under capital.
All right, I can do that.
Well, but that's
that would make me happy.
I know, but it will not make you happy what I will say next. That I believe that, I mean, it's difficult for me to accept the budget that even if we said that in the cash flow you will decide how the money goes, it's difficult for me to accept a budget that is cutting in half your central service. I mean, that is a reality, because you will have 163 there, but you will still short, basically.
We are short. And I, you know, my problem is that there is no feasible way that we can get out of our debt situation in 9 months. So that money is going to have to carry over into FY17.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is just not doable for us to get out from under this in the remaining 9 months of this fiscal. Try as we might. To do that, you know, the talk of, for instance, leaving people at halftime for the remainder of the year, in order to make that goal, would gut this station. It's not tenable at that point. And given that the monies we owe in pension and severance, or pension and seniority, add to that the fact that most of our folks have been here for more than 10 years and generally get about 6 months in severance, we're not in a position to lay folks off NC benefits until June or July. And, you know, that won't solve the problem before the end of September either.
Well, that leads me, I understand what you are saying, but that is my problem with all the budget.
I perfectly understand. I'm sorry.
No, the problem is it's not any money anywhere else to keep covering. I understand that every station deserves to be in the air. I believe that we should do whatever it takes to keep it on the air, but it's not any more plastic money to keep sustaining the stations. And you know, at some point in time, reality will touch us. And I think that we are so close to that. I understand all the problems, but we will not solve it just changing some numbers on the budget. We need to put in real numbers.
I agree. And honestly, my solution is that some of our debt will have to extend past September 30th, 2016. There's no way around that I can see.
Okay. This is Brian. Let me jump in here, because I think we're getting hung up on two separate issues. KPFK's debt is not a part of its budget, right?
It's part of our payables.
Right. Yes. Let me finish. The question confronting us with a budget is, what is a sustainable operating structure for KPFK?
Mm-hmm.
We can kind of figure out how much of a surplus that generates to catch up on debt. I don't think anyone's arguing that KPFK needs to be paid off by the end of the year. That would be arbitrary. But the issue we're facing right now is that even with just full central services, KPFK's running a deficit. It's going deeper in the hole.
Yes.
Okay. I want us to focus on that before we even get into the question of what debt payments should be structured like, because that's secondary to me. The principal question facing us is, how do we stop digging deeper? I've got Michael, and then I heard Barbara. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I want to address myself to the questions that Bill raised earlier about the fund drive's anticipated revenues, and it might speak to some of this also. I think the main way to deal with this is to increase our revenue. Just to explain, if you look at the fund drive, if you look at the budget totals, anticipated listener revenue for this year is $2.5 million compared to last year when it was projected, and I think came in at about $3 million. So this is actually quite a conservative estimate on listener support in total. The reason it looks the way it does on the tab the fund drive pledge details is because the idea is that there would be a substantial number of days in December pre and post the fund drive to do a quiet drive and off-air fundraising. There's no way to indicate that in the form. So it says 15 days and 33,000 a day, but we're not really anticipating that during the 15 days of the on-air fund drive, we'll raise 33,000. We're anticipating that in the total month, including the quiet drive pitching to the web and the off-air fundraising, that we will reach that figure. And the same thing is true for February and some of the other months that have full on-air fund drives. So I did send out a document with the original version of this budget, and I sent it again this evening explaining some of that. And if you look at it, you'll see what we're talking about. So in terms of the 34,000, 33,000, those are not actual anticipated daily goals for the on-air pitching. It has to be put in that way to come up with a figure of what we're going to raise for the month. There's no way around that. But again, this is a much lower listener support goal than the station has actually accomplished in the last 3 years. And there have been substantial savings already built into this budget. If we came close to raising the amount of money this year that we've raised in the previous several years, this problem would disappear. So I do think that is the key, is either through off-air fundraising. I did have a motion that was adopted by our local station board that the LSB commit itself to raising funds off the air through sustainer pledges. And unfortunately, although the principle was adopted, the concrete proposal has not yet gotten through the LSB. But I think that there are practical possibilities of more substantial listener support than is built into this budget based on actually the previous experience of several years. Stop there.
Barbara.
Well, going back to the statement you made, Brian, just before Michael, about how the business of digging deeper currently is different from how to structure paying off past debts. And I wanted to hear some more of the kind of thing that Michael was just saying, although these things can't be strictly put into the budget. Just to know that you all are planning on these extra ways of increasing the revenue, the things that he mentioned, the web income, the quiet drive pitching, and commitment to some kind of off-air fundraising. So I'm glad Michael just said that. I'd like to hear what I know Leslie's probably said a few of these things, but do you have a concise thing to say about this sort of approach, Leslie?
Really, our first approach is going to be to major donors, and I think we have established a track record over 3 or 4 months of sufficient cutting in expenses and a willingness to go there that the major donors may understand the need to contribute at this time to get us through these particularly difficult times. I understand major donors are not an ongoing source of income in any kind of significant way, but I think we can make an appeal right now, in fact, or beginning of the year, to help KPFK get through this tricky period. And I think we can demonstrate that we do have a plan and a commitment to fiscal responsibility going forward based on some months going back. Once we have the audits, I will go into full crunch mode on grant writing. It's something I've done in the past and, you know, will be happy to do in the future when I have the supporting documents to do that. And I think that's a clearer path to sustainability. You know, and I'll also say, to the extent that we can here under the union contract, I undoubtedly, going forward, there is going to be some gradual attrition, and I think that some of those responsibilities can be absorbed by the people who are still here, and I think that's a possibility we need to look at much more seriously. There are smaller attempts going forward as far as monetizing our web stream, as far as looking for more support for free or nearly free premiums. We've gotten the premium cost down considerably, and I think we can keep moving in that direction. You know, while the question of underwriting remains on the table at the PNB, we're not going there at this point. But personally, I would support an underwriting program that underwrote the general operations of the station without specifying a show. Just to weigh in on that. And I think that I know it's a contentious subject, but I think there are ways to do that, at least short term, and do some trial balloons around that to see if we can stay on mission and indeed invite some local mom-and-pop businesses that are also in line with the mission to support the station. But I won't do that, again, while it's in discussion with the PNB at the PNB level. But I think, you know, right now we are in a position to approach major donors. There are folks here who've supported KPFK in the past, and I think we can go to them and ask them to support going forward. In fact, I have already talked to somebody here who has some of those connections, and the plan is to meet with about 5 folks and ask them to go out to their friends and raise $5,000 apiece for $25,000 from each of them, because we need to expand our major donor base as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a question on the cash flow side of things, Leslie.
Okay.
So the budget as proposed shows a cash balance at the end of the year of negative $244,000, which obviously cannot exist. But it's also clearly premised on a lot of catch-up payments.
What do you mean?
Well, you've got $416,000 worth of payments of owed accounts payable.
Yes.
So that is far more than half your central services.
Yes.
So I guess my question is, how many of those payables can be carried forward into future years without
shutting off the
light? Like, let's assume you can carry the old central services forward.
Mm-hmm.
How many of the other payables can be carried forward without affecting your ability to operate?
Well, at this point, the Material World Foundation, I have requested that they waive that payment. I have not heard back from them at this time. So,
what is that?
Is that
a premium?
No, that was a grant that somebody obtained before I got here on a project that has not yet been finished. One of the staffers here went back to the foundation and said it wasn't going to be finished, and they requested that much of the grant back again. I'm still working with them to see if they actually mean that or not.
How much is that?
$25,000.
Okay.
The seniority and pension payments, which are the killer here, I have no idea. I mean, what you see here is a payout over 8 months.
What are they total?
About $80,000.
Okay. We got news that you had paid out your old pension stuff.
We
was that
paid
wrong?
Out the pension for 2012-2013 because we had that in a restricted account. We still owe pension for 2014. We still owe seniority for the whole that whole three-year stretch.
Got it. So 2014 is the payment that would have been due June 30th of this year.
Yes.
Okay, but that was... Somebody deposited that because we made payments for this year. So that's money you owe internally, like you owe it to the national office.
Nobody's paid that, no.
Deposits for the 2014 fiscal year were made. KPFA advanced the money for it. We got an accounting of how it was made.
Boy, I haven't seen that. We had a restricted fund when I came in for the 2012-2013 pension.
Right. No, I'm not talking about 2012-2013.
So KPFA paid our 2014 pension?
It advanced money, because the network has to make one deposit for everybody in the network, because they're all in the same plan. KPFA advanced the cash for that.
Okay, then let's pay it out.
Well, I think it was.
That's not my understanding, but boy, that would make my day.
Okay. Well, you know, I could be wrong. It wouldn't be the first time, but you might want to get with Efren on that. It would be nice. Okay. You would still owe it regardless, but if you owe it internally, you know it's not going to court.
Yes. Yes. Like, I totally get that. Absolutely. And that'd be $24,515 if that's been paid. I've been assuming all this time it has not. I have no documentation that I've seen that it has, but I will tell you honestly, I am coming across bills and payments around here on a practically weekly basis to this day. Things that, you know, are not in anything I've seen. I think I've found the bulk of them, far and away the bulk of them, but there's still a few here and there that pop up out of nowhere. Again, the seniority payments, and maybe the pension payment, but certainly the seniority payments, you know, that's me just...
What's the seniority payments by themselves?
The seniority payments are a total of about $55,000.
Okay.
In past seniority payments, and... Again, you know, all of that is contingent on arbitration. You're asking me...
No, I understand. I was just asking how much. So,
I mean, the $45,000 to Pitney Bowes can probably be held over forever. They just
won't. What's Pitney Bowes?
Pitney Bowes is the copy service.
Oh. It's your postage meter. It's not that.
Yeah, excuse me. It's the postage meter. Rico's the copy, sir. It's the postage meter. They just won't let us.
How much is owed? Sorry.
For some reason, they owe $45,000. $46,000 when I walked in. It was $53,000 when I walked in, and now it's down to $46,000. And I'm sure they're happy to let us roll that out because they're charging us interest on it. Quite frankly, you know, we have to make their minimum payment every month, and yeah, we can't miss payments with them. We're on a pretty tight payment schedule, and I don't know how it got there, honestly. The rest of these are premiums down here, past due premiums. We made a lot of progress on those in the past couple of months that we've been on halftime, paid off about $70,000 in past due premiums and other expenses. But we still have some of the big ones outstanding.
Okay, so look, here's my rough sketch of what needs to happen. I'm not making this in the form of a motion.
Okay.
Um, I, I think we need KPFK to show full central services. I think you can take off the catch-up payments of central services for the time being. So with full central services, but with your depreciation zeroed out, that puts you at a deficit of about $58,000. I don't see, and you know your staff structure better than we do, but I don't see a better proposal because of the big severance payments than only partially restoring the hour reductions in January. In other words, if people went from being cut to half-time to being cut by 20%, so going from half-time to 4 days a week, there'd still be a $20,000 a month savings. And that would be enough to create a surplus of about $130,000 for the year, which would certainly not catch you up on all your payables, but sounds like might be enough to catch you up on the most critical ones and keep you from going to court on any of them.
I hear your recommendations. I hear you, I respect what you're saying, and I am not saying no, but that is the sort of decision I can't sit here and make in 10 or 15 or 30 seconds.
No, absolutely, and I'm not making you to do that, but I think what I haven't heard anyone on the committee saying we can afford to let KPFK pay half its central services. If someone wants to say that, pipe up and let's have that discussion. So I think you need to solve the deficit that paying full central services proposal produces. What I laid out is one way to do it. You may have a better way to do it. Zeroing out that depreciation will get you partway there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, the surplus that you were proposing, which is about $100,000, is a place that gives you steady progress against your payables without expecting you to pay them all off in the next 9 months, which, I agree, it's not reasonable. You can't dig out from under a mountain of debt that fast.
Thank you.
Shutting the station down won't pay off its bills.
No, it won't. It won't generate any money.
But we need to show a budget that where the digging stops. So that's my 2 cents, and we'll go back to the stack. Who wants to go?
Bill.
Okay, I heard Barbara with a question, and then Bill. Who else? Go ahead, Barbara.
So, Leslie, I want to go back to something you said about arbitration or negotiations or something.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to clarify. Is this an occasion where the staff and whoever's involved can consider this idea of, instead of going back to 100%, going back to 80%? Is this a time? Is this a thing that could happen? I can understand you can't project how that would come out. Am I hearing all this correctly?
I am saying that pending a decision in arbitration.
Arbitration, yes.
We don't know the consequences of keeping people on any part-time basis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So arbitration is going on now.
Arbitration will begin on December 13th. It was scheduled for one day.
Only one day.
Yes, there's only one day. And I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Honestly, mm-hmm. And given that, I hesitate to make any commitment.
I wasn't asking for a commitment.
Okay.
I wanted to know.
Yeah.
A possibility.
and you know, to tell you the truth, I don't know, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know how that's going to come out. You know, if they walk away and say, yes, we understand why you did the cuts you made and your folks got the work sharing and that's all part of doing business and you're good, then I have some options that maybe I don't have if they make another kind of ruling.
Mm-hmm.
But this is binding arbitration.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is? It's
yes.
Binding.
Yes.
And it's definite that it's only one day.
It is definite. Well, you know, one day is scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
By the arbitrator. I don't, you know, I'm guessing that's their goal.
Mm-hmm.
So folks, we are the budget committee, not the legal affairs committee here.
And this would be bringing up a total new subject, just to talk about this different percentage of cut. Is that a difficulty in an arbitration? I don't know.
I assume they will make a ruling about the workload reductions across the board, not specifically about a percentage. But again, I don't know.
Okay.
But it's about the past workload reduction that was made. It's not a mediation about signing a new one.
Oh.
No, it's not. But I would assume that whatever precedent is set about the current workload reductions would become a basis for grieving in the future if we continued them, you know, if there's basis there to grieve.
Okay, well, I want to push with one more little back and forth then. Do you see an opportunity for talking with the staff about
point of order
20% rather than
15%?
Yes, and I think we're veering into discussions that could affect.
Yeah, we should not be negotiating on a public call or discussing negotiating strategy on a public call. No.
Okay. All right.
That is closed
thank
session
you.
Material.
Thank you.
Thank
Goodbye.
You, Lydia. Bill, you're next.
Okay. Thank you. And I appreciate what you folks were saying about the revenue from listener support. I'm still real concerned about it. I'm not sure I got my question answered, but you know, if you look at the approximately 100 days or 90 something days of where you had $6,000 a day of the average daily goal, and you add all those up, you know, you're talking about $500,000, and even after multiplying it times 80%, assuming you're only going to get to 80% of the goal, that's still, I don't think it's based on past performance. And what we're trying to do in a lot of our budgets is to base them, the estimates on what we've been doing, like in the last year, and I don't think maybe I'm wrong. I don't think you've come in even close to $6,000 or $5,000 per day as an average now for the non-fund drive days, and also when you're doing active pitching, you know, this last fund drive you were averaging about $19,000 a day, and yet you're budgeting for about $30,000 a day for the rest of this year. So I think you need to revise it to base them on the recent performance of the fund drives. And then we can come back and look and see what the realistic revenue estimate will be. But I'm afraid it's $500,000 or $600,000 too high.
I could take, Michael, if you can talk about the soft pitching, I can take the hard pitching figures again.
Okay, if you look at the original budget page, what you will see is listener support for the previous 5 years, if you go back to the beginning. And so listener support for KPFK has been in the $3 million range.
I'm talking about this last year, though. It's dropped dramatically, right?
No, 2015 is about $2,900,000. The problem is this. Our listener support has never dropped that substantially. It's cost us more and more to get it. That's part of the problem, partly because of the call service and partly because of the money spent on premiums. So the listener support projected in this one is $2.5 million. It's a much more conservative projected listener support than any of the previous budgets. Second thing I will point out is in the October-November drive, I think 40% of the premium of the pledges were made without premiums, which is much, much higher than anything previously. So I think that the reductions in premiums and the some of the other reductions are real reductions in terms of what it costs us to raise the fund drive money. And I'll just reiterate, there's no way in the fund drive pledge details to indicate what we're doing with those fund drives. So the reason it says $30,000 is because, and look at the sheet that I sent you, which says fund drive, I can't remember what the title was, fund drive details or something. And there's a
fund drive plan.
Yeah, fund drive plan. So the last year it took us, I forget, more than 3 months. So it was over 120 days of fundraising. And we can't go back to that of full-on pitching. So the proposal for this year is that we do about 92 or something like that of full-on pitching, but a lot of soft off-air fundraising and quiet drives before and after. And there are particular ideas about that for, before and after May Day, income tax day, end of the fiscal year, end of the calendar year, and so on and so forth that are built into this. But you can't, there's no way to show that in the form. So the form exaggerates the daily total that will be raised in a given month with a certain number of days of pitching because we're doing other fundraising in that month before and after the pitching.
Well, I still think it looks too high. I mean, the way, however you put it in,
$30 in the year.
I mean, if you talk about 230 days of fundraising and maybe only 130 of it are active on-air pitching, that contradicts what you were talking about just a minute ago. And it just seems like you're going to be having worse and worse trouble getting that much per day with the increased amounts. I mean, I'm glad your goal is to try to get away from that, but, you know, judging from recent performance, which is all we really can kind of go by, you know, you've been getting less and less per day. And here you're projecting more per day, with more days also.
This is Lydia.
I've got Lydia, and then we got to figure out some way to bring this discussion to a close that gives the folks at KPFK something to work with. Go ahead, Lydia, and then I've got you, Serene, too. Go ahead, Lydia.
So do we have a timeline to approve these budgets?
Yes, they're due by September 30th.
Yes, I know. But the point is, you know, it's getting to the point of absurdity. And at some point, we need to have something to amend. I mean, we're at the end of the quarter where LSV should be looking to review and the quarter, right? And we haven't even, like, approved it. And we keep going round in circles with all of these. And I would like to see a proposal for all of these budgets. We keep sending everyone back to the drawing board. I understand what our responsibility is, but there has to be some bringing this to a close and accepting what we have, and then moving forward to what can be done within that next quarter. That would be my recommendation.
Serene.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to clarify, I'm not in front of the computer anymore, but I thought I heard Leslie say earlier that the past strike was not as productive as it might have been or might ordinarily have been because they had to do far more repetition than might have been normal because people weren't there, which is not going to be the situation with the fund drive in January or February, or at least even if people are not there full-time, they will be there more than they are now, perhaps. Did I get that right?
That is correct. Three of our top fundraisers are on halftime, and about 50% of their shows were rebroadcasts of earlier shows.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, this is Brian. I have a motion. The National Finance Committee requests that KPFK make the following revisions to its proposed budget by Monday, December 8th. 1. Increase National Office Central Service expense. to the same amount per month as in 2015. 2, zero out depreciation expense by making a negative adjustment under cash and capital. 3, reduce operating expenses sufficiently to produce a surplus of at least $100,000. And 4, restructure cash payments of old payables to show positive cash balances for every month. And it's open for amendment, but we've all been giving our opinions. Now it's time for us to speak as a unified voice about what we want so that KPFK has something to work with to move forward.
Bill.
Barbara.
I've got Bill. I've got Barbara.
Adriana.
I've got Adriana. I've got Lydia. We'll start with Bill.
Well, I don't have any major objection to what you're saying, except that what's left out is making the revenue more realistic. Because if there's no limit on how much unrealistic revenue we can put in there, you could do all of those things, but we'll still be in big trouble next year. So
yeah,
I think revenue needs to be fixed also.
I share your concerns on that front, Bill. And I think this is like extra budgetary, but I think there has to be a hard assessment of whether KPFK is meeting its fund driving goals each time it considers increasing or restoring some of the reduced hours. And personally, but I think this is a management function, not a board function. They should be phased, and every phase in should be triggered to attached to a fundraising trigger in terms of meeting goals. Barbara.
I'm sorry to do this, but that was a long thing you just said. Could you just read it again, the whole deal?
Paul, do you have it?
Yeah.
Why don't you read it?
Or
you're the one who has to put it in the minute.
Okay. Motion is, the National Finance Committee requests that KPFK make the following revisions to its proposed budget by Monday, December 8th. 1. Increase National Office Central Service expense to the same amount per month as in 2015. 2. Zero out depreciation expense by making a negative adjustment under, quote, cash and capital, unquote. 3. Reduce operating expenses sufficiently to produce a surplus of at least $100,000. 4. Restructure cash payments of old payables to show positive cash balances for every month.
Thank you for elegantly papering over my typo.
And actually, it's Tuesday, December 8th, not Monday. You started
I'm sorry.
Out by saying Monday.
I meant Monday, December 7th. Paul, can you change that in the text?
Yeah, I'm changing that now.
Okay.
Michael, to the sec.
Okay. That was Bill, that was Barbara, I've got Adriana, Lydia, and then Michael. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. First of all, I want to say that I don't see that the revenue is so unrealistic, because I can see that from the last year to this year, you are reducing $400,000 in revenue. It means that you are not inflating the air. You are reducing a bunch of other costs. And I agree totally with the motion that Brian passed, and I think that what we can do and we should do, once that we have that budget, every 3 months, obviously, we can see if we are off or not and make the corrections that need to be made. Because really, keep beating this horse, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. This budget sounds to me that it's trying to be balanced. If we accomplish those provisos that Brian just put in, I think that we are in the right track. And then every quarter, we can check and see if there's anything else that needs to be modified or not. Thank you.
Lydia's next.
Yes, it sounds reasonable. This committee keeps having to balance between, not wanting to pass budgets that are not realistic. And more importantly, I think it's evidenced by our provisos from last year, is not wanting to pass budgets where there's no effort to bring them into line, into realistic goals, realistic expenditures, and so forth. And each of those has always had to factor in the realities of the station at the time. And I think there is a distinct difference between this and some others that in the past we've had to deal with, because this has concretely shown just since, July and on, some real measures that allowed us for the first time to start paying our current costs, both central services, payroll, et cetera, and keep current. I just saw an email from Ephraim where we borrowed money from KPFK. I'm going like, how is that even possible? but I know what it is. It's advanced on future central services, because we're doing what we need to do. So I think that that the motion is sound. It brings into focus some need to stay on top of it for obvious reasons. But by the same token, it's the one station that has made significant progress of those that are really in the hole. So I would support passing Brian's motion as we move along with the budget, hopefully. Thank you.
Michael.
I understand that. I would like to make an amendment, which is to say that the result of the changes would result in a balanced budget, not a $100,000 surplus, because I just don't think it's realistic in the next week to be able to accomplish that. I think it's fair to ask for a balanced budget, which is all we ask of any of our stations at this point. I mean, I understand we want to have surpluses and build a cushion, but so I'm offering that as an amendment to your motion, Brian.
So you would insert the words balanced budget in lieu of the words surplus of at least $100,000?
Yes.
Paul, did you catch that amendment?
I think I've got that. So instead of reading three, reduce operating expenses sufficiently to produce a surplus of at least $100,000, it would be reduce operating expenses sufficiently to produce a balanced budget.
May I ask a question when there's time?
Yeah, and I have a question.
You can ask a question right now. I was going to comment on Michael's proposal. You're
okay.
Also welcome to wait. How would you like to do it?
I think it's directed to you since you're the maker of the motion. But as I'm understanding the motion, you're asking us to zero out our budget with the added expense of the national office. Are you also asking us to zero out our cash flow, which currently shows a negative of $480,000? Are you asking for a budget that brings that to zero as well?
Yeah. Your cash flow budget has to show what bills you're going to roll over, because we know that you can't have negative money in the bank.
Okay, so you're...
Does that make sense?
Yes. Because this budget doesn't extend out until fiscal year 2017, are you saying I need to just eliminate some of those payables from the schedule for the time being and put them in 17? Or are you asking that we actually make those payables in 16?
I'm saying take some of those payments off of your... What is it?
Payables, accounts payable.
Row 40, payment of old account payable.
Yeah.
Or if you feel that there are things there you can't delay further without creating legal problems, then look at what other bills you can delay by a month. You know what I mean?
I mean, the bottom line is where we're at right now, we have payables at the end of fiscal 16 of about $480,000. Moving them around from month to month is not going to change that final figure.
Yes. Your payables are going to be reduced by roughly the amount of the surplus you can produce. Right? So if you create a budget with a $100,000 surplus, you're going to be able to knock down your payables by about a fifth.
By about a fifth, right.
But over the course of the year. You already know that you're not going to get sued for not catching up on your central services.
Right.
That's why most stations push off that payable first. Not that that's a great thing.
Just take off the accounts payable for payables that we don't feel we're being sued about. That's your recommendation?
To the extent necessary to not show negative cash in bank.
Okay. All right.
I mean, does it make sense? The budget's articulating a plan. It says, here's how we're going to survive.
Yes. I mean, it makes sense. I wish those payables, and I guess they'll exist in the general ledger, so that we can reincorporate them next year into the budget. I mean, I don't want them to fall off the accounting system completely, if you see what I'm saying here.
Well, taking them off the spreadsheet won't take them out of the accounting system.
Right.
But what you can do is force numbers in on the cash flow forecast, and you can leave those payables on the payables tab, so they're there for everyone to see.
Okay. I would appreciate that, because I think we have every intention here of making good on those and not letting them fall through the cracks.
Bill for the stack.
Okay. Help me out here. Michael, had I called on you?
Yes, I made the amendment to change your goal from balanced budget. That's the current motion on the floor.
That's right. And then Leslie asked a question. So I meant to argue against that. This is not a question of stockpiling extra cash. KPFK needs to make some progress on its payables, and it needs a surplus to do that. I would argue in favor of keeping at least a $100,000 surplus in the budget, which
was
is the amount of surplus in the budget that was
that
presented to us.
Motion?
No seconds required in committee. We'll have to vote on it after we've debated it. Debate is on Michael's amendment only at this point. Bill?
Well, I was going to make another motion. So, again, I concur with you, Brian.
Okay. Any further discussion on Michael's amendment?
If I can just speak to it, what I was saying is that I don't think it's possible to do that by December 7th. If we want to have a document by December 7th, and given what was said previously about arbitration and other things, you're asking somebody to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. So, I'm just saying that if you want a document by December 7th, it's unlikely to have $100,000 surplus, given the other requirements that we just put in of $216,000 more in general services payments be budgeted in. So I'm not saying eventually we don't want to develop that surplus, but I'm just saying if you want to have a document by the 7th, make it a more realistic document.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, it's phrased as a request. If it's impossible to fulfill the request, it's impossible to fulfill the request. It's not a directive. We don't have the power to issue directives. It's giving clear direction on what we want management to achieve. But I also disagree that that's not possible. You make a plan. If legal action changes what's possible, then you make a new plan based on the outcome of the arbitration. But you don't wait and not plan either way because you don't know how it'll end. Sorry, who else? Did anyone else want to speak on this? Okay, let's vote on the amendment. The amendment is to change from a $100,000 surplus to a balanced budget. Paul, can you call the roll?
Okay. Lydia Brazan.
Yes.
Adriana Kasanov?
No.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Brian Edwards Tekert?
No.
R. Paul Martin abstain. Tony Norman?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Barbara Wipperman?
No.
Okay, it's 5-4, 4 against, 1 abstention.
The amendment carries. It's now part of the motion. Bill, you said you wish to propose a further amendment?
Yes, I emailed you an amendment to... it's just by adding an additional item number 5 at the end of your motion. Number 5, change listener support revenue estimates to reflect the actual average dollars raised per day of fund drive revenues in FY 2015 and the fall drive of October to November 2016 for both active pitching fund drive days and quiet fund drive days. So again, this is to motivate, this is to be consistent with what we've been doing for the other stations to base the budgets on recent actual performance rather than hoping. And I think I think what's in the budget now is significantly above what the proven revenues have been in the last year.
Staff on discussion?
Just vote.
Okay. I take it there's objection.
I would like to make a point, if I may. Again, I'm not a member of this committee, but...
Go ahead, Leslie.
I'd simply like to point out that we've reduced our income projections by $500,000 over the over FY 15.
Okay. Is there an objection to Bill's amendment?
Yes.
R. Paul, can you please call the roll on that?
Okay. I should read this, I think. The amendment is to add at the end 5, change listener support revenue estimates to reflect the actual average dollars raised per day of fund drive revenues in FY 2015 and the fall drive of October-November 2016 for both active pitching fund drive days and, quote, quiet, unquote, fund drive days. Lydia Brezon?
No.
Adriana Kasanov?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Brian Edwards Tekert?
Abstain.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Tony Norman?
No.
Michael Novick?
No.
Serene Roberts?
No.
Nancy Sorden?
Abstain.
Barbara Wipperman?
No.
Okay, it's 2-4, 6 against, 2 abstentions.
Amendment fails. We are past our adjournment time. The clock got away from me. So unless anyone's proposing to extend, we will move to a vote on the motion as amended. R. Paul?
This is Serene.
Serene?
So I'd like to make an extension that includes going back to PRA. How would I frame that? I mean, I don't just want to extend for 10 minutes on this motion. On the KPFK budget. I want us to finish the PRA business.
You could propose extending the meeting. We're also past the time limit on KPFK, so we'd be forced to a vote on KPFK regardless.
Okay, so I propose we extend the meeting for 15 minutes.
Is there any objection to that?
Yeah, that's kind of long.
It didn't sound like you were convinced that you were objecting. Was that Nancy?
This is Lydia.
Oh, Lydia.
But I have a question since I got on late. Did we vote on something for a PRA before I got on?
No.
We stopped in the middle of a little discussion.
Oh, okay. Then I will vote against extending.
Oh, okay, come on.
Okay. Paul, please call the roll on extending.
Metal, so that if we didn't resolve anything, then there's no point.
We didn't talk.
Okay, the motion
folks,
is to
it's not debatable. Paul, call the roll.
The motion is to extend for 15 minutes. Lydia Brezon.
No.
Adriana Kasanov.
No.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
No.
R. Paul Martin abstain. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Serene Roberts.
Yes.
Nancy Sorden.
No.
Barbara Wipperman.
Abstain.
Okay, it's 4-4, 4 against, 2 abstentions.
Extension fails. We'll go to a vote on the KPFK budget motion. Or Paul, as amended.
Okay, give me one second. I have to record what we just did here. So, okay, let me give me a second to go up and get your motion. And okay. Oops, what is that? Pushed a button and something funny showed up in the computer. All right, do we need it reread or not?
No.
Hearing no clamor for that. All right. It's the motion we've just been debating. Lydia Brezon.
Yes.
Adriana Kasanov.
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin? Yes. Tony Norman?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Barbara Wipperman?
Yes.
Okay, 9-4, 1 against, 0 abstentions.
Motion carries, and we are now adjourned. We are now meeting... Oh, you know what? Sorry. Before I adjourn, if we're going to schedule another meeting, we still have 4 budgets outstanding. I think we may need another one.
We scheduled the 28th, didn't we?
Of...
December.
Let's see what we've got.
I want
we
to
have Tuesday,
all...
this coming Tuesday the 8th. Thank you for your time, Leslie.
Good night.
Good night.
We have this Tuesday the 8th. We also have Tuesday the 22nd on the calendar. I will not be able to attend on Tuesday the 22nd. That's the week of Christmas, and I'll be traveling. I don't know how many other people that impacts. But Monday the 14th is open on the KPFTX calendar right now. But if we wait till our next meeting, it will be too late to schedule something for then. Does anyone wish to propose meeting on Monday, December 14th?
Yes.
December 14th. Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Adriana's moving a meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Monday, December 14th. Does anyone object? Paul, you've got it?
I have a question.
Yeah, meet on 12:14.
Okay. Without objection, it's passed. What's your question, Barbara?
So we're not meeting on the 22nd?
No, we haven't canceled that yet. It's still on the calendar.
And is the 28th on the calendar?
No.
I thought it was. Hmm. All right. I'm wrong.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for your work.
Good night. Thanks for chairing.
Bye.
Bye.